Hey, we're Blender Style, and every day we feel anonymous hate. In this episode, Fear Factory, The Manufacturer, released in 1995. Cheers, gentlemen. We're going back to 95.
So excited for this episode.
We got another fan pick from Mike Dunham. He left a comment and said,
I'm starting to think that guy watches our show.
Yeah, maybe a couple episodes. This is Fear Factory to Manufacture.
You said that in the intro.
I think he said this is his favorite Fear Factory album.
Really?
And I probably heard that from other people.
Okay.
And when I say Mike picked it, I've heard a handful of other people kind of suggest Fear Factory to Manufacture.
He's just the only one you're willing to give credit to.
Well, he's the one that did the homework and put the fucking comment in.
Okay.
Everyone else was just like word of mouth. And I'm like, why don't you leave a comment? They're like, yeah. I'm like, do me a favor. Leave us a comment. So anyway, I think we all enjoy this band. We reviewed one of their albums on season zero.
Mm-hmm.
And
we
reviewed it for season 0.1 test run. Yeah. We've never released a Fear Factory album review, so this is our first one. It's not their first album, it's their second studio release.
First album with Christian.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
And this is the first one, I think, Soul of a New Machine is like more death metal.
Yeah.
And kind of weird.
I think this was their groove into finding that Fear Factory signature.
This is
sound.
The first like Fear Factory signature sound album for me, and I've been
100.
I'll admit I've never been a huge Fear Factory fan. Like, I don't listen to their stuff all the time, but I've always appreciated it and thought it was cool. Casey, you're a big Fear Factory fan.
I'm a huge Fear Factory fan, and it wasn't until we started reviewing this that I read that I always knew this was an album about a struggle against a machine-controlled government, but I was not aware that every song represents a chapter in the protagonist's life.
Really?
Yeah.
Even the cover somehow fits in?
I don't know if that's supposedly the concept, I didn't really dig into it. I was like, huh, interesting little tidbit or whatever. When we were freshman year in high school, I think it was, we started hanging out with the cool kids. Because we were tired of being the not-so-cool kids. I mean, we were already pretty cool in our parents' eyes, but the other kids didn't think we were cool. So we started hanging out with smokers and shit across the street, you know, because that's where the rebels hang.
Yeah.
And one of the guys who had graduated a year or 10 before.
Hung out too?
Red.
Not creepy at all.
Yeah, and he invited us to go watch his band practice, and he lived like two blocks up from my house, and we used to go there like every weekend and just watch the band practice, and he was a huge Fear Factory fan. And he tried to play drums.
I think you find that is like Fear Factory fans are very dedicated.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And he tried to mimic the drum style when Red would play drums and stuff. And he kind of turned me onto it. And ever since that day, dude, I've just been like a huge Fear Factory fan. That they just killed it. It was almost like listening to techno before techno because it's so precise and so like.
So I think we should explain the Fear Factory sound for those who don't know. Like you're saying, it's very precise.
Yeah.
It's technical. It's tight.
Yes.
It's groove and death metal even at times.
It is.
But it doesn't have like long like passages like death metal or black metal.
No.
It's very rhythmic and choppy.
Very syncopated between the drums and the guitar.
For sure.
This is what would happen if the robots at Chuck E. Cheese had written their own music.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
But yeah, 100%. This goes for a very mechanical sound. And
on guitar, it's all right hand.
It is like Dino is known for being a riff master. He's not known for writing great like solos
melodies,
and shit, but he is a riff master, and few people can mimic the sound.
And the double bass is like in connected to the guitar riff.
The beginning of this album with the double bass. It literally sounds
so iconic.
It's literally sounds like you like started up a spaceship and you're just letting it warm up.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
it's like, before you just kick ass with it. That's
let's
start this up. And,
What was it? Motley Crue had the car warm up sound on the.
Yeah.
This one has the spaceship warm up sound.
Van Halen.
Van Halen had the car warm up sound. This has the spaceship warm-up sound at the beginning.
So much of this sounds like it's from the future.
And that's the thing. Even though it hasn't aged as well as like you would hope it would have, back then it was so futuristic, and even to this day, it still has
that. It's different.
Yeah, it's different.
There's nobody that sounds like Fear Factory. There's bands that literally you're like, oh, they're trying to take like Static X and stuff like that. You're like, they're trying to take from Fear Factory, not take, but do the same. Not Fear Factory. No. You know what I mean? When you hear Fear Factory, you hear Dino, you hear the. It's just
it's heavy.
I just loved how dark it was for me. I remember being young and like hearing Fear Factory I can't tell you where I first heard it, but I just remember just being like,
it's like being in a machinery.
I was scared. I was like, yeah, it felt like
you're around machinery and you're like uncomfortable. Yeah, like
it's very uncomfortable.
When Mortal Kombat came out, that movie was
dark. I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Dark as hell. Yet the Fear Factory song, what was it, Zero Signal from that, was darker than the movie.
that soundtrack's sick, dude. It has Napalm Death.
Yeah, that is a sick soundtrack. But that was kind of Fear Factory like throwing it out there and like, hey, let's see what
we can do. So despite it being like chuggy and fucking rhythmic and like pistons and hammers and like machines going, there's like the vocals kind of soar over it.
Totally, dude. Yeah. The vocals are also even diverse. Like, we're talking about the music, but the vocals are like those cleans.
This was kind of that first foray into mixing clean vocals with like a death metal or a thrash, like death metal kind of growl.
It was definitely early in that stuff.
And for him to have the range that he had was just unheard of at the time. It was crazy.
Well, and it's not, I wouldn't say like he has a very big range. He has two modes that are very different.
Well, those clean vocals sound like they're from the future.
Oh yeah,
it sounds like a computer's like
singing. It's like spacey and ethereal. But the heavy parts that he does aren't death metal. No. It's like shouty.
Yeah,
and you can understand everything he says.
So the like Nathan said, those clean vocals are the light shining through to show that there's still a brighter future you could have out of the machine's
control. It's just a little bit of hope that exists in the Terminator.
Human involved.
Yeah, it's the little bit. Yes,
it's the humanity.
Really good. Well put. Because like all the instrumentation is all mechanized and machinery and just like precise. And then he's like the humanistic voice. I've never thought of it like that, honestly. But I think
the human voice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even within the story, right? The lyrics and stuff like that. But
it's crazy.
So a sick. This band found this sick, iconic original sound that no other band does. Other bands, I'm sure, copy this. But this is definitely the beginning of that Fear Factory sound. My only beef with it is they went on to like really perfect it, like with Obsolete and some of the later
Obsolete is
the production. Like, you can fucking shatter people's like car windows with some of these later albums.
For sure.
This one doesn't have the same oomph.
Yeah, it doesn't have that dynamic range.
The bass, like the low end, just got sick on later Fear Factory albums.
Yeah, and see, that's the other thing. So like I feel like this was the peak of Fear Factory, and it wasn't until...
You think this is the peak? I think this is the start.
I feel like this was the peak of Fear Factory until Mechanize.
This is the best until Mechanize? Yeah. That's fair.
Because I feel like Obsolete was... I mean, nothing in between except for maybe, what was it, Transgression was bad. Everything was great. It's just... For me, they kind of like tried to chase this commercial thing. Like once Obsolete came out, I feel like for a couple albums there, they really tried to chase this commercial.
And like, they had some pretty like, ugh, sound.
Yeah, and none of the songs were bad. It's just you could tell there was that chasing like, of
they just, did some covers.
Yeah, I hear you're saying. Yeah.
But Mechanize peaked way bigger than this. Sonically.
Oh, sonically for sure.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Mechanize came back to show that, hey, you know, the machine might have like, thought they got rid of the bad part, but now the bad part's really gone. There was like this constant back and forth between the band drama and the dynamic between like Christian and Raymond and Burton and Dino. And I think that's what ruined this whole band.
I know. I hate to even bring this stuff up, you know.
Yeah.
But it's
so annoying.
It influences the music a little bit.
For sure.
And it just like kind of puts its stamp on the art.
Well, it's like in the beginning, like even with this, right? Like, isn't there like the bass player plays doesn't play on any.
Yeah, like there was like a controversy because like Dino said he played all the bass parts because all these songs were written before Christian joined the band, and then Christian said in interviews, "No, I contributed to it, you know, because they hadn't been recorded yet." Well, I heard also
that Dino was like just like rearranging everything, just in the studio rearranging.
It's a very studio band, I think. Let me say something about Christian. One of my coworkers, Doug, shout out to Doug. He took guitar lessons from Christian Wolbers. And homeboy apparently has like a sick right hand. Like very, very fast.
Well, he was able to cover all the stuff when Dino left the band. He'd switched over guitar. So I wouldn't doubt it.
I mean, respect.
Yeah. Respect where respect's like due. Another thing that I don't like about this band is I love Raymond's drumming. But the answer he gave me at Ozfest when you dared me to ask him how he got
so let me set this up a little bit. We went to Ozfest 99? Yeah, 2000? Something like that?
98.
98, 97. And Tom Drums had a booth, and there was two lines. You could get a signature from Paul Bostaff from Slayer or Raymond Herrera from and then some other ones.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like beeline it for Slayer. Yeah. I still have the autograph. And you were in line for Raymond.
No, we were both. It was both of them. It was those two or another two.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we went to Slayer Fear Factory, and me and Matt are standing there. And Matt's like, hey, ask him how he got so fast.
Yeah, and what did he tell you? What did you say, and what did he tell you?
He's like, oh, practice.
Yeah. Yeah, he just said practice.
I'm like, oh, cool.
You're like, I'm an idiot.
Because at the time there were a lot of rumors going around that Ray, because at the time he was so fast, like a lot of people were like, oh, he uses two double kicks.
Yeah, I heard that there's controversy. Like funky pedals, controversy was saying that like he did it like it was a drum machine.
Yeah, machine and triggers and shit. Like at the time it was like, I mean,
because it was so unusually precise,
but also because at the time maybe the thematic elements of this, of the man versus machine thing, it was like, oh, drums. Well, let's obviously also, these guys are
drums. It was triggered,
which at the time wasn't like a super popular thing to be doing.
People
now
were doing it, but not
they were being kind of like hidden about it. For sure
And so we got in the line and we get up there and I was like, oh, hey, how'd you get so fast? He's like, practice. I was like, no double kicks or anything? He's like, no, dude, just practice. Cool.
What about Bon Jovi's like tie-in to this album? What happened?
So there's rumors that they went to New York to record this album. Oh,
it's not rumors.
Okay, well,
this is fact.
But I guess they were recording
Joey Sambora.
What's his name? They were recording so loud that the
Calzone.
Joey's
Joey Calzone told me.
Hey, he told my brother.
He said their drums were, or their music was so loud it was bleeding into our drum tracks.
Yeah. So if you listen, if you isolate like drum tracks for
Bon Jovi,
what album would that
Slippery
have been?
When Wet, I think it was.
I doubt it, but Slippery When Wet, probably one of the real bad like 90s, when he had the like grandma haircut. Yeah. And he was all over VH1.
Pop up video.
Like, why does Bon Jovi keep like getting to our show? Which Bon Jovi album should we review? Leave us a comment.
None of them. So when I first like heard this was like groundbreaking stuff for me, right? And like how we kind of said, it is a little like I guess dated, and that's kind of what falters some of, you know, what my score might be. But even going back to it, it still gives me that feeling of just excitement and awesome. You know what I mean? Like this will stand the test of time. It stands the test. I go back to this album often, Fear Factory often. So I give this a 4.8, guys. I think this is a killer album.
I think it's well deserved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that they're the forefathers of a lot of stuff that actually, like, you know, sometimes it takes metalheads, you know, sometimes we're a little hard-headed and it needs somebody to kind of push forward little bit. And I feel that Fear Factory did. And made a scene a little creepier for a moment.
Well said, man. Nice. Casey, Fear Factory, Demanufacture.
So this is one of those iconic albums for me. It's not my favorite Fear Factory album at all. This is up there with my favorite. But I feel like this was their entry into it. But even at that point, this is a 5.0 for me.
Nice, dude.
This album is killer. Love the evolution from Soul of a New Machine to this. And then just from where they took the mantle, like there was this big jump from Soul to this. And then from then on, it was just progression and evolution. It was so cool. It's so cool to listen back to their career. And I'm kind of like, we talked about it in our preseason stuff when we did Aggression Continuum. We'll probably never listen to a Fear Factory album after this.
Yeah.
But now with Milo singing for them and stuff and hearing what he could do, I'm kind of excited to listen to it.
It might be
cool. Don't know if I'll like it, but I'm going to give it a chance.
So you're in the camp that you're pro new vocalists.
I am too. I'm pro what keeps this band going, because I feel like Nathan said, these guys are pioneers of the genre. And
so is that Dino?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you think Dino is...
It's tough. You don't get to hear Burton's side of the story as much.
You don't. But I feel like up until Dino this point...
comes off a little sometimes, a little...
He does, but what's Burton doing? You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm with either. Casey. Like, if the band continues, it's good for everyone.
And I feel like even through the different transitions between, like, the four original members to three original members to just back to two original members, they've been consistent. There's one album for me that is a money grab. And that's, like I said, I think it's Transgression. Other than that, they've been consistent and they've always stuck with that Fear Factory signature sound. So I'm stoked to hear where they go.
I kind of like that they don't just like put out stuff, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, it's kind of nice that you kind of get some breathing and that like they take every release pretty fucking serious. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
it's clear they spend a lot of time making it sound awesome, dude. I give it a 4.4 out of 5.
Nice.
It's the birth of that iconic Fear Factory sound. Bangers on this. Replica.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's a song you'll never hear on MTV.
What do you mean?
Fuck MTV.
Oh, yeah. The
Ozfest video.
In the Ozfest video, he said that. And it was probably on MTV.
Probably. And then fast forward like 5 years and they're playing in the wrestling ring for the WCW SummerSlam thing at MTV's beach house.
That's sick, though.
So when you, yeah, right. So it's funny. So when you say this is a 5, I totally get it.
Yeah.
Like, I know this is that album for a lot of people and I respect that, dude. I think this is I'm not a huge Fear Factory fan. Like, I don't listen to their stuff over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's just good to me. But 4.4, dude. Great album.
Yeah, great album.
We're Blender Style. That was Fear Factory Do Manufacture. Let us know what else we should review. Leave a comment. And if you want to keep up with us, subscribe. And then click like. It helps the algorithm or whatever, some AI that's coming from the future to destroy us all. Click like and let us know to destroy Blender Style first.
Just remember, if you click like and subscribe, the machines know you're on their side and they won't destroy you.
Yeah, if you don't play along, they're coming for you. They're coming for us all.
I heard this new conspiracy. It's called Alexa.